Good morning and welcome to A Voice of a People Live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. How you doing out there today? It is a beautiful day, isn't it? No rain, no snow, sun is shining. It's just beautiful and we have had some beautiful weather. I'm live right now on www.wwgh1071.com and I'm live right now on that TuneIn app. And as many of you may have discovered as I have, that TuneIn app is on smart TVs along with your other apps, so you can also get us on your TV. Isn't that a great thing right now? It is a great thing right now. And also, I'm live right now in the studio by calling 740-383-9944 if you have any questions or would just like to be a part of our show today. Thank you so very much for tuning in to A Voice of a People. If it is your first time, I pray it's not your last time. And if you are a faithful supporter and listener to A Voice of a People, thank you so very, very much for your support and your love over the many days or however long you have been with me. Along with you supporters and first timers, Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist has been with A Voice of a People and the other people that I may mention for many years. And I really appreciate them. And they're still with me. So there's got to be something in that, right? Absolutely. We have Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC of 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Their number is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement. Free produce every third Saturday of every month. The next will take place this Saturday, October the 19th, beginning at 12 noon until 2 p.m. 12 noon until 2 p.m. Take advantage of this free produce. Share this information with other people who may have need of free produce to share with others. There's people that are hungry out there, homeless, people who may be out of a job. We don't know. There's so many changes happening so fast in our world today. So a lot of things are just hard to like say, oh, okay, well, I don't know anybody that needs it. But you may. And you may know someone else who does know someone who needs it. Okay, we also have Cheryl Lee. She is the coordinator for Child's Evangelism Fellowship, known as the Good News Club. We are still asking people to pray for her. And also Glenn Coble, his wife, lift her up in prayer. I think she fell and hurt herself today. He was going to be my guest and had to cancel. So, and also lift me up for my health issues that I'm dealing with right now. God is still on the throne and he is still doing miracles and healing bodies and saving lives, you know, from destruction. And we give him praise and we give him honor. And I thank him so much today for each and every one of you. But I do know that he is a miracle worker. He did miracles, healed the sick, the lame, the blind. He gave them eyes to see, the lame to walk, the mute to talk. He did all those marvelous things when he was here on the earth. So he is our hope today, and we're going to continue to hope. We're going to continue to lift up one another in prayer because we are helpers one to another. Okay, so we have opened up, and I have shared with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People. Now we're going to move on to announcements. I do have an announcement about the, why do I have my paper? This announcement is about November the 1st, Dinner with the Presidents. This dinner is represented by Marion County Historical Society. They will be putting this on. There will be people dressed up as presidents and former first ladies, and they will be at attendance at this event, November the 1st. This event takes place at, Waldo, Ohio. I'm trying to find my paper, and not only that, trying to remember this all at the same time and tell you. I'm sorry, I thought I had my paper with me, but I guess I did not. It's going to be a great event. I think this is their 15th annual Dinner with the Presidents, and it's going to be a great night for a lot of people. And right now, you can still get your tickets if you plan on being there. You know, sometimes you get one little piece of paper and then it gets lost in a lot of one little pieces of paper and it's hard to find. I am so sorry, but I do know that that's going to be a great event. I'm still searching. I think I just found it. I found it. Praise God. Woo, thank you, Jesus. If it hadn't been for the map on the back, I wouldn't even recognize it. But okay, here we go. All occasions, catering and banquet facility. The event will be there. Saturday, November the 1st from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. And many of you know where All Occasions is. And if you don't, it's located at 6989 Waldo, Delaware Road in Waldo, Ohio. Okay, $42 for VIP seating, no child price for VIP. So if you pay the $42, you can bring your child up to age 12. $38 for general seating, $20 for general seating for children ages 5 through 12. VIP seating with the presidents, speaking presidents, are featured Adams, Taft, Wilson, and President Roosevelt. Non-speaking presidents is Thomas Jefferson, Madison, Jackson, Van Buren, Taylor, Grant, Arthur, Harrison, Roosevelt, Warren G. Harding, Hoover, Harry S. Truman. Those are the non-speaking presidents, but they will be there, and they will be in their presidential garb. Okay, so, and I'm like, what to wear when you're going to an event like that? Do you bring out your vintage things, or you look for vintage things to wear? I'm one of those type of women where I like to look the part or be a part of what's going on. So Colonel Edmund W. Starling, White House Secret Service agent. Now, he served from 1914 to 1943 different presidents: Woodrow Wilson, Warren G. Harding, Calvin Coolidge, Herbert Hoover, and Franklin D. Roosevelt. He served them. And their special guest will be Mary Ellen Withrow, the 40th Treasurer of the United States, from March 1, 1994 through January 20th, 2001. And remember, Mary Ellen Withrow just turned 95 years old. I think it's been a couple of weeks ago now. Yes, and 95, still getting around, still driving her own vehicle and attending all type of events. She gets around really well for her age, and I thank God for her. She is Marion, Ohio's jewel. She is a pearl to us, and I respect her and always wishing well for her. Okay, seating is limited, but right now, the ticket sales end, I guess. It says Friday, October 17th. Is that tomorrow? I guess it is. Okay. So did I have the wrong day down for the free produce? I don't think it's the 19th. Maybe it's the 18th. Let me double check that too. Like I said, time goes too fast for me. All right. Let me look really, really quick. See what that says. So I don't want to give you the wrong information. Right. It will be October 18th. Free produce. Logos Christian Ministries. 582 Lee Street. Beginning at 12 noon until 2 p.m. All right. And you can get your tickets tomorrow if you plan on going to the Meet and Dine with the Presidents. Okay. Tickets are available at Heritage Hall, 169 East Church Street, which is known as the Marion County Historical Society. You can call to reserve your seat, or, you know, let them know you want to pick up your tickets there by calling 740-387-4255. So that's that announcement. Right. Okay. All right. Let us move right along here. Okay. I would share some things about October. My heart is kind of, I don't know. I'm looking so forward to these beautiful trees, and because of our drought that we have been experiencing here in Central Ohio, well, at least Marion, Ohio, our trees are really slow about changing. I did see a few more trees yesterday that were trying to change and change and turn colors, you know, like the maples and the oaks. And I just want to bring to your attention the trees and the colors that they should be bringing during this time of year. And I've heard people say usually middle October the trees are just really, really beautiful and in abundance. But we may not have that right now. So it says these trees produce the colors. And these trees should change first. The aspen, golden. Beech tree, golden brown. Birch, bright yellow. Canada red choke cherry, red to reddish purple. Poplar tree, golden yellow. Sugar maple, orange red. Black maple, glowing yellow. Red maple, bright scarlet. Silver maple, muted green. Sassafras, orange yellow. Tupelo, yellow, orange, and then red. Dogwood, purple red. Oaks, brown or russet. Hickory, golden bronze. Maple leaf, viburnum, pinkish purple. Which trees change first depends on where you live. Tulip poplar trees start changing colors as early as August. Next are the maple trees, which give us early oranges and yellows. And of course, some regions have the brilliant red maples. Oak, hickory, and beech trees are the last to change color. Everything else is in between. Where can you find the best fall foliage? Does your area experience fall foliage? Some level of autumn foliage changes in most regions of North America, but it is New England, the upper Midwest, the Rocky Mountains, and parts of the Appalachians that hold the jackpot for leaf peepers. The right climate and light conditions and an abundance of tree varieties that hoard colorful pigments come together in these places. While tradition has it that Columbus Day weekend is when the color peaks in New England, the mythical maximum occurs in northern Maine in mid to late September and travels south, reaching the Connecticut shore of late October. And, you know, even when you're, like, on your way to Worcester or going through Mansfield, the trees are just brilliantly beautiful this time of year. And it just has not been so much this year. Not even in your own backyard, you know, or down looking down your own streets, right? It just hasn't been, like, normal for us. But I have to believe that it's going to come around eventually. I like to start my show off with a thought for today. These thoughts help us to help our day, give us encouragement. You know, sometimes when we're going the wrong way, it helps to bring us back to the right way. And it's a help. I look at it as a help and a comfort. This thought for today is titled Power of Determination. Are you determined in your life? Are you determined in your goal to go the right way? Are you determined that you're going to make the right changes in your life? Maybe some people are determined that they don't need to make changes in their life. I understand that sometimes we do need to make changes, but are you willing to make changes? Am I willing to make the changes in my life that I need to make? If I'm struggling with something, I realize I need to make a change, especially when I'm tired of struggling with it. And I think maybe most of us come to the same conclusion, like, this has to change. I can't continue to do this or go that way, you know. And we do bring about change. We do the things that we need to bring about change. In the midst of uncertainty, keep determination in your thoughts, and that will become like a guiding light in front of you. The impossible becomes possible for those who have the power of determination. So determination changes things. That's how you bring about change in your life and bring about change. And you can only change you. You can't change other people, no matter how bad you want them to change. But sometimes when we change and other people see how and where we've changed in our life, it encourages them to make changes. So that's why changes is hard, but it's important that we make the right changes. Sometimes we can go the wrong way and make changes, but we want to go the right way, in a way that it encourages someone else to make changes in their life. I've lived a time in my life when I thought, boy, I sure wish they would change. I get so sick of that same thing and this and that. And, you know, I'm just, wow, can't you change? Can't you do something different? But I found out that I needed to change. Because if they're bothering me, then there's something wrong with me. They shouldn't bother me. No one else should bother you. No one. They shouldn't have that power to bother you or to always have you upset. So there's something in you that needs to change. There's something in you that you need to take the time to find out what's wrong and why you feel the way you feel. And I know, why is it always me? Why does the buck always come back to me? Because you're the only person that can change you. They're the only person that can change them. No matter how hard they try, no matter, what can I say, no matter. And they may be upset with other people and was hoping that they would change. You know, you can take on learned behavior from watching other people. You may not even like the way that they act or conduct themselves, but you can be around a person long enough and you can pick up their habits. You can pick up the way they talk or the way they walk. And next thing you know, you're sounding like them and stuff like that. So it's always important to be true to yourself and be yourself. Be you. Be who God has created you to be. And if you don't like who you are, then you have the power to change it. You take the necessary steps to change you. The best guide I found for changing me was, first of all, pinpointing what was wrong with me. And once I pinpointed that, then I took the necessary steps to not be that way anymore. Not to be angry, but to be happy, to smile and conduct myself like, you know, I'm confident in who I am, who God has created me to be. I had to be okay with who I am, number one. So who am I? Hey, I'm created in the image and likeness of God, you know, which we all are. His handiwork, you know, his creation. And all of us need to be proud about that and happy about that. Because, you know, if God didn't want us here, we wouldn't be here. People are leaving this world quickly, you know, young, old, doesn't even matter. And we all have an appointed time. But while you are living and have breath in your body, be thankful for your life. Be thankful for your Creator who had mercy on you and loved you enough to give you a chance to live on this earth. And, you know, our life may not be the best of lives, and we can always find something wrong. But let's look at what's right and what can be better in our lives. I think that's what we should focus on. Of course, something could be better, but guess what? It could be worse too, right? So, thought for today, which I thought was pretty good. I like to challenge myself as well, and as to challenge you. Because if we don't challenge one another, then no one grows. I like growth. I like maturity. And I like to be able to move. You know, I don't like being stuck. So now we're going to move on to, because my guest today had to cancel, so we're going to move on to something I would like to share with you. Okay, I was going to share that with you, but oh boy, then I ran into something else that is powerful. Okay, there is a book in John, the Bible. Some of you know I guess giving you Bible scriptures and telling about a story that's in the Bible is also motivational, because it's to encourage you that whatever God did back in those days, He can still do today. So I don't consider myself a motivational speaker, but maybe I am in a way, right? This here was the book of John. St. John in the Bible. We're going to see John 21. Okay. And this is when Jesus was on the earth and his disciples. Going down to verse 22. And it's like, this is how it's sectioned off. It begins, Jesus appears at the Sea of Galilee. So John 21 was probably after the his resurrection. Okay, so he's appearing to his disciples and he's still encouraging them to go on. He's encouraging them by appearing to them, letting them know that, hey, I'm still alive. I still exist. Lift up your heads. Don't be discouraged, you know, because they thought that they would never see Christ again. And at that time, they did not understand that he was going to rise again. Even though he was telling them that, it just did not click at that time. And, you know, there was a certain blindness that was initiated to them until the Lord decided that I'm going to remove that. And now you will be able to see, you will be able to understand and comprehend what I have been telling you. Okay, so maybe I can just read on down because it's pretty good. Jesus appears at the Sea of Galilee. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, Galilee, and he did it in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas, who is called Didymus, the twin, and Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, as well as John and James, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing," they said, "and we are coming with you." So they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. As morning was breaking, Jesus came and stood on the beach. However, the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish to eat along with your bread?" They answered, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast a net, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great catch of fish. Then that disciple, John, whom Jesus loved and esteemed, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Excuse me. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer tunic. He was stripped for work and threw himself into the sea and swam ashore. But the other disciples came in the small boat, for they were not far away from shore, only about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. Excuse me. So when they got out on the beach, they saw a charcoal fire set up and fish on it cooking and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net to land full of large fish, 153 of them. And although they were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew without any doubt that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he had risen from the dead. The love motivation. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? More than the other men do? Other disciples do? Do you love me more? With total commitment and devotion?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you with a deep personal affection, as for a close friend." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Again, he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me with total commitment and devotion?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you with a deep personal affection, as for a close friend." Jesus said to him, "Shepherd my sheep, lead them and guide them to me." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me with a deep personal affection for me, as for a close friend?" Now Peter was grieved that he asked him the third time. And we know that Peter, before Christ was crucified, denied Christ three times. And Christ had told him this would happen, and Peter didn't believe it because he thought he was good on his own and he was strong enough within his flesh to say, "Yes, I know him. I was with him. That's Christ, the Son of God." But Peter was weak because he depended on his own flesh, which a lot of us do. We depend upon our own flesh. We're not really depending on the Lord to give us strength and to help us stand in these last days. But that's the only way we're going to stand. "Do you really love me with a deep personal affection as for a close friend?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you with a deep personal affection as for a close friend." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." The next section is titled, "Our times are in his hand. I assure you, and most solemnly say to you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you walked wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and arms, and someone else will dress you and carry you where you do not wish to go." Now, he said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me. Walk the same path of life that I have walked." Ta-da! Walk the same path of life that I have walked. Not only is he saying that to Peter, he's saying that to each and every one of us. Follow me. Walk like me. Talk like me. Lead like me. Guide like me. He's saying that to us. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his chest at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" So when Peter saw him, he asked Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man? What is his future?" Peter was worried about John the beloved. John didn't have no problem. He loved Christ and he knew that Christ loved him. And he told those other disciples, "I am the beloved of him." And he, like it said in the picture of the Last Supper, he's laying on Jesus' chest. He loved him and he knew that Christ loved him. So it was mutual. Do you know that Christ loves you? Do you know you have the same right as John did? Now, you know, John wrote the book of Revelation, you know, from the Isle of Patmos. That's the same John. And he wrote 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. This is the same John. But he knew Christ as Lord. He knew who Christ was without a shadow of a doubt. Do you know who Christ is? Is he Lord of your life? Are you living by his laws, commandments, and precepts? Are you reading His Word? Are you hiding His Word in the depths of your heart? Now, someone was telling me yesterday, our Bibles are going to be taken from us. And if that is to happen, we must diligently study more and read more and hide God's Word in our heart. Because when the time comes, the Lord will bring these things back to our remembrance by the Holy Spirit. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I just thought I'd throw that plug in there. Because, you know, things are happening so fast. We don't know what's going to happen next, how soon it's going to happen, and what's going to happen. We just do not know. Is that going to really happen like it did in the days of Hitler, that our Bibles will be taken from us? We will not be allowed to worship or pray or whatever. But what's in your heart cannot be removed. It cannot be removed. Okay, so Peter said, he is so worried about John. He says, now, what about this man? And what is his future? You know what Jesus said to him? If I want him to stay alive until I come again, you know how long that would be? Like thousands of years, he's saying. If I wanted this man, John, to live until I come again, which he hasn't returned yet, bodily like he promised, but he's still coming. But just think that Christ could have said, John, you can live until I come back. Like thousands of years. But the thing that blows my mind is Jesus told Peter, I can do that. I can do that. And he's saying, what is that to you, Peter? Why are you so worried about John? He's jealous of John. He's jealous of John's relationship with Christ. He's jealous that John is always bragging that he is loved. He is the most, you know, that Christ loves me the most. He loves me more than all of you because he knows I know who he is. And he knows that I love him and I honor him and I respect him and I highly esteem him. And I have reverential fear of him. This was John's testimony of Christ. Okay. And Peter's jealous of that. He's jealous. That is something we all need to be jealous of. Someone else's relationship, especially when it's a good, inspiring relationship. And we should want to covet that, you know, so that we can get closer to Christ on our own. Like, if you want it, you have to reach for it. If you want it, you have to pray for it. If you want it, you have to read and study and show yourself approved. A workman who rightly divideth the word of truth, and that is God's word. You can have a very, very close relationship with Christ Jesus, no matter who else is close to him, and no matter who else is singing the praises or going to church or reading their Bibles or studying, going to Bible study and going to all the conventions and stuff. And some of that is work-based. But your relationship is something personal, just like a relationship you have with your husband or with your children or with your siblings, with your own mother and father. Closeness, if you want that, you can have that. And Christ said, what is it to you? And I thought, oh my, that was something to really say. He said, you follow me. So this word went out among the brothers that his disciple John was not going to die. So they thought, oh, he's going to stay alive till Christ come back again. None of them were really realizing, oh, that could have been thousands of years. But they would think, well, he's not going to die. So Jesus did not say to him that he was not going to die, but only, if I want him to stay alive until I come again. What is that to you? Why does that bother you? Why does this man bother you? Yes. Okay. This is the same disciple who is testifying to these things and has recorded them. And we know without any doubt that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were recorded. You know, if there's somebody you're watching and you wonder, why are they in the position that they're in? Why does the Lord always favor them? It seems like only good comes to them, and it seems like all the bad comes to me. So, and it may look that way, but that might not be absolutely true. But it may look that way, you know. and I picked this up from a daily devotional. What is that to you? That God is blessing someone else and you're looking at the fruit of their life. You understand that Christ is blessing them, leading them, guiding them, showing them. Just like Peter noticed that about John. And he said, what about this man? Why are you always, you know, he's always all over you and you're always all over him. And, you know, y'all buddy-buddy and all that. What about him? You may be looking at other people. Christ told Peter, what is that to you? You follow me. Christ is saying to us, don't be looking at all these other people. You follow me. This is what the devotion says. Why do I get a strawberry lollipop when she has grape? My six-year-old niece asks. My nieces and nephew taught me early on that children often compare what they are given with what others receive. This means that the doting aunt, I'd better exercise good judgment. I, too, sometimes compare the things God gives me with those he's given others. Why do I have this and she has that? I ask God. My question reminds me of what Simon Peter asked Jesus at the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had just given restoration and forgiveness to Peter for his previous denial of him and was now telling him that he'd glorify God by dying a martyr's death. And you can find that in John chapter 21, 15 through 19, which I read. Instead of answering yes to Jesus' invitation to follow him, however, Peter asked, Lord, what about John? Jesus answered, what is that to you? And added, you must follow me. I believe Jesus would say the same to us, and he is, when he's already given us direction in an area of our life. He desires our trust. We are not to compare our path with that of others, but we are to simply follow him. For more than 30 years, the Apostle Peter followed God as a courageous leader of the early church. Historical records also show that he fearlessly embraced death under the evil emperor Nero. May we too be steadfast and unquestioning in following God, trusting his love and direction. When you have compared your situation with that of others, in what practical ways can you follow God? Just trust in him. Trust in his promises. Trust in his word. He said, I will not lead you astray, nor will I ever leave you. Trust him. Follow him. Praise him. Glorify him while we can. While we can. And there is a great prayer at the end. Dear Jesus, please help me to trust and follow you. We all need that prayer. We all need that encouragement. We all need to know that that is possible to do, to follow Christ. Because if these things really, really get bad and our Bibles are taken or we're going to be persecuted for even talking about Christ or following Christ or praying, be caught praying, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Is that going to really happen? I don't know. But I want to be prepared and ready. Right? If I have to give up my life, and you have to be willing to give up your life. If we're going to be persecuted one day. Here. I know we hear about persecution in other places. And it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen here. So, number one, we want to be ready. We want to have on our armor. And we want to be able to trust God no matter what. No matter who. It just doesn't matter. He is the object of our affection. He should be the object of your affection. He should be our life, period. Nothing else matters. He must be number one. He must be. As John, St. John, Christ was number one to him. Number one. And he was the disciple who, each disciple, Matthew, Mark, Luke, portrayed Jesus in the way that they saw him. But John portrayed him as being God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's how he saw Jesus. And that's what he told us. Like saying the things that he portrayed of Jesus when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. That should give us chills. He said, because those who were dead, yet will they be alive. And like, oh, praise your name, Lord. You will live again. And he proved that by raising Lazarus from the dead. And not only that, his own resurrection. He says, I'm able to lay it down and I'm able to pick it up again. He said, my Father has given me that command and I can do it. And he did it. How? Who can explain it? I don't know. Can you explain God? I cannot. That's just like the rapture. You know, we can't explain the rapture. All we know is it's going to happen. One day we're going to all be caught up. The dead in Christ first, and we that are on the earth and remain will be all caught up together. It's so complicated when you try to break it down, even myself, and I study. But there's so many different avenues that comes from this person and that person, this preacher and that preacher, and they all have different understanding of the word. When the rapture's going to happen, you know, I know what I believe, but does that matter? It's a mystery. We're not going to know. We know bits and pieces, and we can't all put it together, even though people are trying. I'm trying to put it together because I want to know. I want to know, and I studied so hard the other night. It was like the secret things belong to God. Okay. So you can only get so far. Because the secret things belong to God. And it's his mystery that he will unfold when the time comes. However he has it planned, it's going to happen. So it's things like that, you know, all I can do is go by what I read. And, you know, I'm skeptic about some things I hear from other scholars, and because sometimes I don't see it like that in the word, but I do believe that we're going to be caught up one day with him at the sound of the last trump. Yeah, sound of the last trump. That's what it says. And that says after the tribulation, but is that true? That's what the word says. I can't put it into context. I've tried, but then you rise. There's different scriptures that you're like, well, is that really true? Is it going to really happen like that? It's just mind-boggling. But do your own studying. Get you a study Bible if you don't have one. Keep your devotion going and your prayer life going. Remember those who are in need of prayer. Thank you. If you can't come back for next hour, I will be having Dana Martin, my guest. If you can't come back at 11:15, have a blessed, safe, and happy weekend. And be careful out there. Until next time, be blessed. And thank you so very much.